Well, what a joy to be able to see Layla affirm her faith and to see the grace of God at work in her life, and then to be able to spend 15 minutes or so thinking about one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life. So why don't we pray together before we jump into it? Father, thank you so much for the gift of prayer. Thank you so much that as your people, we can approach you and we have access to you and we can speak to you. Father, I pray this evening as we look at these four verses, you would help each one of us to recapture the wonder of prayer. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever lost sight of something amazing. I remember a few years ago, I was doing some outreach work with young people in a Cumbrian town. And the place was beautiful. This town was surrounded by mountains and lakes. It was stunning. But having grown up there and having seen those mountains and lakes every day for 14, 15, 16 years, these young people just didn't see them anymore. Tourists would wander down the cobbled high street with their mouths open, gazing upwards. But the young people, well, the mountains just blurred into the background. It's not that familiarity bred contempt. There was no contempt there. There was just a numbness or a dullness towards beauty. I wonder whether it's a little like that with us and the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' disciples ask him in verse 1, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." It was pretty standard practice for teachers and rabbis to give their followers particular prayers, which kind of marked them out as followers of that particular teacher. Distinctive prayers. And so what we get in these short verses is a prayer which summarizes everything that's distinctive about Christian prayer. And yet, because we say these words, or a version of them, every Sunday, well, I wonder whether familiarity has dulled the wonder of them. That we say it every Sunday, but we've long stopped being in awe of what we're doing and what we're saying. Maybe we're happy to pray on a Sunday, but we struggle with prayer the rest of the week. Maybe we pray in a crisis, but the amazing distinctives of Christian prayer have little place in our lives. And maybe we're like the disciples. We want to know how to pray, but we find it hard. We want to be distinctive in how we pray, but we don't quite know how. We want to recapture the wonder of prayer. Well, this evening, we're just going to slow down. We've got four very familiar verses, and we're just going to gaze at the beauty of each clause in the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to gaze at each clause through that amazing first word, Father. When Christians pray, they are praying to their dad. And our dad is the glorious God. And so we pray, Father, hallowed be your name. God is glorious. Not only is he the creator of all things, but he is holy and good and righteous and loving and just and gracious and compassionate and trustworthy and all-powerful, and all-knowing, and all-present. He is, to quote the Dutch theologian Herman Bavinck, the apex of unchanging beauty. He deserves to be praised by every living creature. He deserves to be worshipped by people from nations around the world. He deserves our awe. And amazingly, we have access to him and can call him Father. Do you realize how mind-boggling that is? We have access to the apex of unchanging beauty. We can talk to the creator and sustainer of the universe. We call the glorious king who deserves to be hallowed, who deserves to be revered, Father. And so when we pray for him to be glorified, because he deserves it, but we do so gobsmacked at the privilege of calling the glorious God Father. And not only is he the glorious God, he is King. Our dad is the King. And so when we pray, Father, your kingdom come. Our Father is King. He reigns over every aspect of our lives. He rules over every inch of creation. See, this isn't a prayer for God to become King. He's already King. This is a prayer for his rule and reign to be recognized and respected. We want Jesus to return and establish God's kingdom perfectly. I mean, don't you want that? Don't you look around and see the sin and suffering in the world and long for God's kingdom to be established perfectly and finally on earth? Don't you want to see his rule expanded as people are rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into his kingdom of light? Don't you long for the day when everyone will recognize the lordship of Christ? Our Father is King, and we long for his kingdom to come. Now, those first two clauses are kind of like big picture, God-focused prayers, God's glory and God's kingdom. But the next three clauses are more personal, focus down on our need for our Father, because our God is our dad who provides. And so we pray, Father, give us each day our daily bread. And the need for food is pretty basic, right? It's a basic need. We need bread, plain, simple sustenance. And yet, the third clause of the distinctive Christian prayer that Jesus teaches his followers is to ask God, their Father, for that most basic of needs. Do you see the ridiculousness of this passage? The glorious God, creator and king of everything, can be approached for bread. The highest power approached for the most basic of needs. That is the kind of access only a child has. Tim Keller, the American pastor, once wrote that the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access. This clause just cements our status as children of God. But more than that, it has the power to quench the raging fire of anxiety so many of us feel. We might worry about our finances or our futures. We might struggle to make ends meet or to make it to the end of the day without feeling overwhelmed or worried. But the amazing truth of this passage is that our Dad, the glorious King of creation, provides for us. The amazing privilege of prayer is that there is no need too basic or too small to bother him with. And not only does he provide, but our Dad forgives. And so we pray, Father, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. See, the wonderful truth of the gospel is that although each and every one of us sins against God, even though we all ignore him as creator and disregard his rule as king, even though we are all guilty of rejecting God and hurting others, he loved us enough to send his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. The same Jesus who teaches us to pray in Luke 11 will go on and die on the cross to take the punishment we deserve for our sins, and then rise from the dead 3 days later, defeating death and guaranteeing life after death for everyone who would put their trust in him. That's the good news of the gospel. Sinners find forgiveness. We can go to our Dad and we can ask him to forgive us. And because of what Jesus has done for us, he will do so. Despite of our sin, he will smile at us with paternal, eternal love. And our Father, our Dad, helps us. And so we pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. The Christian life is full of ups and downs. I still struggle with sin. My life is a catalogue of misdeeds and mistakes. And I'm not alone. None of us here are perfect, regardless of how long we've been walking with the Lord for. And so there is a huge relief in having a heavenly Father who helps us. We can pray when we feel the pull of sin or face the temptation to live sinful, selfish lives. And we can experience his help. Do you ever do that? In the face of temptation to sin, cry out, Father, lead me not into temptation. Dad, help me not to sin. What a joy that God isn't some distant deity, but a Father who helps us to battle sin. So there we go. Christian prayer is distinctive because of that relationship that Christians have with God as their Father. Our Dad is the glorious God, and so we pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Our Dad is the King, and so we pray, Father, your kingdom come. Our Dad provides for us, and so we pray, Father, give us each day our daily bread. Our Dad forgives us, so we pray, Father, forgive us our sins, and our Dad helps us, so we pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. The challenge for us is not to take the privilege of prayer for granted, to not let prayer become like those Cumbrian mountains, but instead to see how amazing prayer is because of how amazing it is to call God Father. And then to get on with praying. I take it that Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray distinctively in expectation that they'll get on with praying. But I know it's hard. And I know lots of us struggle to maintain regular prayer lives. So let me give you just three practical tips to help us put this into practice. Here's my first. Why not think about either making a list or downloading PrayerMate? I've got this app on my tablet called PrayerMate, and I use it each morning to help me pray. It lets you create lists of different topics, and then it gives you one thing from each list to pray for each day. And so every day, I pray for a family member, for a colleague here at church, for a church family, for an aspect of world mission, for an issue facing the church in the UK, and for a personal item. The app is free to download. It took me about 20 minutes to set up, and it helps me to pray each morning. Here's a second practical suggestion. Why not use the notice sheets? Every week, the church office sends round an update sheet, and it's full of things to pray for. It tells you about things that are happening at church in the coming week that you could pray for. It tells you about a country in the world and how you can pray for them. It tells you about one of our mission partners and how to pray for them. And it gives you a list of people in the church family who are unwell or in need of particular prayer. Why not use the notice sheet as an aid to prayer? Why not sit down with a coffee for 10 minutes and pray through the notice sheet? Why not come along to prayer meetings? Come along to one of the prayer meetings next month, either the prayer and praise on Wednesday evening or lunchtime prayers on a Thursday. They are joyful times when we gather together as brothers and sisters to speak to our Father together. It's family time. You'd be very welcome. So why not come along? Why don't I lead us in a prayer now as we end? Our Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to call you Father. Thank you so much that we have access to you, mind-boggling access. Thank you so much for that amazing privilege. Help us, Lord, I pray, not to lose sight of the wonder of prayer, not to let the amazingness of prayer become like those Cumbrian mountains that just fade into dullness. Help us to be alive to prayer, to be amazed by prayer, and to be seeking to cultivate a healthy prayer life each and every day, Lord. Please be with us, Lord. Help us to take hold of the amazing privilege that is prayer. Amen.